Welcome to Table Talk, folks. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, dare to be Lutheran, looking at the Ten Commandments, looking at making a shift here, Brent, into the second table of the law, from the vertical first table of love toward God, now the horizontal, love toward neighbor. And so Commandments 4 through 10 are going to get really practical.
And dicey.
And you're going to be daring. Before we get too far into this.
The IRS will probably investigate this. We'll be targeted and profiled.
Oh, man, that took 1 minute for him to mention the IRS.
Well, it's true, isn't
it? Just don't say teapot. Okay, well.
Yeah, whatever.
Now we've
all you have to do is say dare to be Lutheran, and that gets everybody's attention, or it puts them to sleep.
Right, they just they hit the search button and look for something else on the radio. When we started talking about the Ten Commandments, I think we'd mentioned that we kind of wanted to observe three things with each commandment. Maybe it'd be good to remind the listeners of that as we transition into the second table of the law.
Yeah, I don't know how successful we've been at doing that because we just ramble and talk like we're at the bar. But in any event, yeah, three things we were trying to attempt to do here is, number one, with all the commandments, is we want to observe what God wants done in each commandment. What he created us for, you know, that's very important. When Adam and Eve were created, the law was at work. But with Adam and Eve, nothing was lacking. And so it didn't condemn them. And so God created them to do things, to be a man and a woman, a husband and wife, and to take care of the garden, and to do some animal husbandry and stuff like that, to take care of God's creation.
The law was part of the ordering of God's creation, if you will.
Yeah, God's will.
Putting things into relation to one another.
Yeah, and his eternal will at that. So we want to observe what God wants done in these commandments. And then secondly, after the fall, after Adam and Eve's fallen into sin, and we've been given their sin, it's called unbelief and self-justification, or trying to deify ourselves, you shall be as God, we want to observe what stands in opposition to God's will in each commandment. And that then destroys God's good will for creation and for our lives. And then the third thing we want to observe is what God's going to do to get what he wants done in the face of our opposition, our sin, our unbelief, etc. And that's his new creation that he does with us by creating faith, sustaining faith in our life. We become good trees, if you will, to use the language of Jesus in the New Testament. And then the good tree bears forth good fruits. And that's described in each of the commandments' meanings in the Small Catechism. We should fear and love God so that we don't do certain things, and so that we do certain things, which is to live outside of ourselves, to live for the sake of our neighbor. And so with the next seven commandments, that's precisely what we're going to see.
Okay, and this is what we're talking about as far as the horizontal aspect, if you will, love towards your fellow man, loving the neighbor. What does that mean, and how is that carried out in the Christian's day-to-day life?
Yeah, you don't have to go looking outside of God's word for God's will, and you don't have to invent things. Well, what would be God's will for me today? Well, you've got it right there in all the commandments. So with the fourth commandment, what does God want? He wants you to honor your father and your mother, and that includes all other earthly authorities that he's established. So the Small Catechism asks the question, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Well, it means that you should fear and love God so that you do not despise or anger your parents and other authorities, but honor them, love and cherish them, and serve and obey them. So Commandment 4 begins the second table of the law, which has to do with your dealings with concrete, specific, physical people in your life.
You know, and this, as I mentioned earlier, it also orders your life. It puts you in the place that God wants you in this world with respect to the authorities. So he gives authorities to be over you and you to be under them. And he says this is a good thing. And the chief authority then being father and mother.
Yeah.
And we can see how that is good for the child. And then we can also see the chaos that results when there's opposition to that.
Yeah, I agree. So this commandment then protects the gift of authority. God wants the gift of authority to be protected, and how else should I say this? Not just protected, but to actually be done in the world.
Well, when we think of authority, you know, there is no authority that exists except that which God has established. So when we're talking about this authority, we're really talking about God's working in this world. And so these authorities, these real tangible people that he puts in certain places in our lives, they are his hands. They are his instruments. They are his representatives, and therefore the honor.
Right. That's why you have the word honor in this commandment, because hidden under the mask of parent is God. So how do the kids get their clothes? How do they get their cheeseburgers? How do they get their Nike tennis shoes? Well, they get them through mom and dad, of course, as God's instruments, God's masks. So mom and dad are his hands and mouth. So, you know, the first three commandments, if you want to learn how to live with God appropriately, you follow the first three commandments. And similarly with the commandments 4 through 10. Or to put it negatively, you know, in the first three commandments, you learn your life's going to be a mess if you don't know how to get along with God. And so, you know, your life's going to be a total disaster if you don't know how to get along with other people. And so commandments 4 through 10 are going to reveal the fact that, okay, what's God's goodwill for you? What's his good use for you, his redeemed people? Getting along with other people. And easier said than done, of course, because the old Adam still hangs around our neck. And of course, then the law, the commandment, then accuses us again, since we live as sinners. But this is very important for us to realize, because we don't want to get along with anybody.
Well, and we do not see others as God would have us see them. So, you know, go back to Adam and Eve, the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, that was not for eating, and yet Adam eats of it. And so also, for instance, with the fourth commandment, parents aren't for bossing around. And and you telling them, I want you to do this, and you need to get me this. See, it's misunderstanding the gift.
Or listen to how every parent talks. Listen to how every teacher talks. Listen to how now even coaches will talk. Not so much so with coaches, but it's sneaking in. How do parents always talk to their children, teachers to their students? Now, eat your vegetables, okay? It's time to do your homework. Okay,
would you like to, and then fill in the blank.
As if the parent waits for permission. The parent can't say or do anything without the child's permission. And that's what I think you're kind of getting
absolutely,
at.
Absolutely. That's the misuse of it. So once again, understanding. I mean, the fourth commandment is not just for the child. It's also for the parents to understand their God-given role.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, you know, I know as a parent that I fail in that quite frequently.
Yeah, yeah. What we're trying to, you know, we jump around with these three things that we are trying to observe with each commandment, you know, the what God wants, what stands in opposition, and then what God's going to get done. We just jump around with all three already. But that's okay, just as long as we kind of cover all these three things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to back up just a little bit. I said that, you know, this fourth commandment's going to help us learn how to get along with other people. So, you know, there's this one, when I was in college and I studied sociology and had a little bit of psychology, the big guy was Sigmund Freud. And, you know, you don't need Sigmund Freud to figure out that when you don't get along with your parents, everything's going to go bad. And that's literally true.
Mm-hmm.
You watch The Broken Families, and that's absolutely true. So that's a no-brainer. I don't need Sigmund Freud to tell me that. I mean, he just was a phenomenologist, if you will. He just observed what actually happens. But yet, you know, most people don't get this, Scott. So at the very least, you know, Freud's going to tell you that much. When it goes bad with your mom or dad, you know what usually happens in L.A. and in San Francisco and Chicago and Omaha? Well, you end up spending your life on a couch telling your life history of how things went with your mom and dad or how bad it went with your mom and dad, and you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars doing it. So
there's a reason why this commandment stands, if you will, at the head of the second table too. Because it really does. It does have a ripple effect. It does affect everything else
because,
in life.
Because remember Dr. Luther and his large catechism, and this is really a scandal. Boy, you want to dare to be Lutheran here? We've got Lutherans who will not confess this. I mean, we have professors in our universities who simply won't confess this. It's that all authority flows out of what? Parental authority.
Right.
I'll never forget, I interviewed for a position at one of our Concordia universities, and the head of the theology department, we talked about this. He totally denied it. Totally denied what the large catechism teaches and what I just quoted. Amazing. My jaw hit the floor.
Which makes me curious, then where does it come from, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, honor, that's the big word here in the fourth commandment. And honor, of course, is what you do with kings and queens. And, of course, that's what Christian moms and dads are, is they are a holy and a royal priesthood. Now, notice, holy and royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Royalty. The baptized are royalty, and mom and dad are kings and queens in the house. What's interesting is, I think I've seen this before, if not on TV, lots of times I guess I see it on TV and I read about it, but you know, if you go to an Eastern Orthodox marriage ceremony, you know what they do with the bride and the groom? They put crowns on their heads because they're confessing this fact, is that mom and dad are king and queen. Or as Dr. Luther always put it, he said, mom is the bishopess of the house and dad is the bishop. Now, that's to speak of it in religious terms. But it is. Mom and dad are royalty. They are gods. God is the hidden majesty behind parents. So that's why you have the word honor here, because God's the one who's at work through them.
Yeah, you don't have this word honor in the other commandments, do you? You have the love word.
Yeah.
But honor reveals that there's this hidden majesty.
Yeah.
As you used the language earlier, the masks of God.
So
God's at work here.
Yeah, so fatherhood and motherhood, or parenthood. It's interesting, NBC, didn't they have a show called Parenthood?
Yes, I didn't get
to watch it. I'm not trying to plug that necessarily, but parenthood and parenting is the highest office that God has established on the earth. Seriously. That's one of the first things he creates. Be fruitful. Multiply. So he says to Adam and Eve, as husband and wife.
Yeah, I mean, just this is very radical in the sense of going to the root once again, right? A man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And when they become one flesh, then God's command to be fruitful and multiply happens, and there are children, and children aren't born, you know, just out there somewhere. There's always a man and a woman.
Very physical,
right? Right.
Very creaturely.
Yep. And this is the family that God has created and put this child into, and already from the very beginning of life, put them in relationship to one another. And parents already know that they will then be the caretakers of this child, that they will sacrifice of themselves to provide for the needs.
Wait a minute here. Didn't you just get a tweet from the IRS? You're no doubt now you're going to be targeted and profiled for what you just said.
That is just
husbands, wives, are this is God's will, and this is how you're supposed to have kids. See, right away, daring to say such things. Holy smokes.
This is one reason why I don't have a Twitter account.
Well,
I'll just get in more trouble.
No doubt then your emails will be looked at, and your phone calls will be looked at. Who are you calling?
Oh, no doubt this magnificent studio is bugged.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Well, already we're starting to ramble and get off base.
Well, there's no higher office.
That's what we want to emphasize.
No higher office than parenting.
And these
and
other
the
and these other authorities then that we haven't talked about yet flow from.
Oh yeah,
this.
We have talked about them in a roundabout way, haven't we?
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll take a look at this a little bit more, because once again, what God desires us to do, what stands in the way of it with this commandment, but then also how the Christian as a new creation, how God uses this person to love the neighbor. So take a little time, refresh your coffee or whatever the beverage of choice is, and meet us back here in just a little bit.